bless this time as we look into your word. And Lord, use the words that I speak to be your words, not mine. Lord, that I would diminish so that you can increase. And Lord, that that these words from your Bible, from your scriptures, would ring true to us, that would penetrate into the deepest part of our hearts and change us, mold us and make us more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 9, 1578 in the Pew Bible, 1578. Luke chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 18, but I want to give a little bit of give you a little more information than what's there. In the portion that we're going to look at, verses 18 and on, the disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus turns to the disciples and says, Who do the crowd say that I am? Well, just before that, he fed 5,000. Well, they count the men. Women and children don't count. That's not because they didn't feel they were important. They just didn't count them. So there could have been women and children there. Maybe not. The men could have only been there. But at the very least, we have 5,000. It could have been as much as 10,000. But even if there were only 5,000, it's a miracle. They passed out a few loaves and fish and collected 12 baskets back. It's just amazing the amount of food that went out, and yet they still had extra, even though there wasn't enough. There must have been a lot of talk in the crowd. And I can imagine the disciples, as they were passing the basket around and passing the pieces of fish around, that there must have been talk about who Jesus was. And so when they got together in verse 18, and they're in private, and Jesus and the disciples are praying in private, Jesus turns to the disciples. Now, Jesus probably already knew what was going on and what the people were saying, but he wanted to hear it from the disciples. And so he says, what do the people say? And I'm sure as the disciples were passing around the baskets and things, you could hear people kind of going, "Oy vey, this guy something. Healing and teaching? Oh, wow. What a guy. He could be John the Baptist or Elijah or some resurrected prophet that came back. Wow, this guy's something." And so they related this to Jesus. They said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say resurrected prophet from long ago. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter jumps right on it and he says, "God's Messiah, the Christ of God." So that really is the question before us today. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, I want to warn you, because what you say will be held against you. Because when you claim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it demands action. What you believe demands a judgment on your part, and that in turn demands an action. Who do you say Jesus is? If he's a good teacher, well, we can learn from him. A good way to live, that's good. If he's a prophet, Well, we can take heed to his words. We can be warned about the future. If he's a man, just a plain old guy that talked good, well, we can listen, but, you know, really, it doesn't matter whether we do or don't do what he says. But if we say he's the Christ, if we say that Jesus is God in the flesh, just as the Bible teaches, then your belief needs to translate into action. There can be no other response. And Jesus shares the response in the next few verses. Now, Peter just got done saying, Christ, the Christ, God, you're the Messiah. And Jesus warns them, don't tell anyone about this. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and must be killed, and on the third day raised to life. And he's talking about, look, I'm going to die for you. I have a mission. This is my purpose, is to come here and tell you about God's kingdom and tell you about myself and show you who I am. But I'm going to die at the hands of the chief priests and the elders and teachers of the law, and then I'll rise on the third day. But then he says this in verses 23 through 26. He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very life or self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You see, what you believe demands an action. The disciples, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and so it demanded their denying themselves and following him. Now, they knew full well what it meant to pick up your cross and follow him. But you notice that it's not to death, because it says, do this daily. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and do this daily. And so he's telling them, you're not physically going to die, but spiritually you're giving up everything for me. My will must be the priority. No longer I, but God. What good is it, he says, if you gain the whole world, yet forfeit your whole self? You know, well, I have a life to live. You know, many of us went to school, at least high school, graduated, got jobs. Some of us went to college, we got better jobs. Then we got married, maybe want to get married. Maybe we've got a home. We've got kids, grandkids. We like to travel. We retired. We go about our life. What about God? What about Jesus? Well, wait till I'm ready. I'll take care of business when I'm ready. But what is the reality of that? The reality is that this is God's creation. God created the heavens and the earth. He created mankind. He created everything we have. For what? Just to watch us squirm and go around our lives and wonder what's next and worry about the future and watch each other die and mourn over each other? Is that the purpose of God? Is that why He created us? He created us to do His will, to follow Him. Did Jesus come to earth and die on the cross, pay the penalty for my sin or not? Is Jesus preparing a place for me so I can enjoy peace and all the goodness of heaven for eternity or not? Really, is God the creator of all things or not? And then when the Bible tells us through Paul and Peter and others, in Hebrews 12, there's a slide for that, as you can read it. Throw off everything that hinders you and all the sin that entangles you. We're not supposed to get all entangled with the things of this world. We're supposed to throw off everything. It doesn't mean that you can't earn a living, because we have to earn a living. We have to go through our lives and, you know, kind of eke out a living. But God doesn't want us to get so entangled that we aren't serving Him. 1 Corinthians 9, the next slide, it talks about striving, running, straining forward so that I won't be disqualified. It talks about, you know, having Jesus, the only one, looking for the prize, keeping my eyes heavenward. Romans 12, in the next slide, tells us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices and not be conformed to the pattern of this world. We're not living in this world so that we can merge into it and so that nobody knows who we are. We're supposed to stick out like sore thumbs. We're supposed to be a light. Remember last Sunday? We're salt and light. We're supposed to be the ones that people go, oh, they're different. You know, and we've caused an irritation to the world. You remember Jesus said, and I believe it was John 14 or 17, it says that the world hates me. And it's going to hate you too. You know, we're not going to be accepted in this world. And you can see it in today's, you know, what's going on, news-wise and everything else, that we're the sore thumb. Christians are not making things easy for the left side, for the guys that want to change everything and make it into a godless society. You know, the unfortunate thing is that our attitude is this. This is my life, and God will fit into my schedule. Pretty powerful words. Most of us live our lives that way. We kind of think that, well, I've got things to do, places to go, people to see. You know, don't get in my way, God. You know, I'll put you in when I need you. But that's not how Christianity is supposed to be. It's supposed to be this, our attitude should be. I serve you, Lord. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I can't wait until I do something for you. Share your message to someone, wherever and whenever you call. Does it mean that we become preachers and stand on a street corner or become nuns and priests? No, it's not what it means. But it does mean that we are available to God and His will every day, no matter what. You know, I use an illustration that if we knew, somebody came up to us and said, you know what, there's $2 million waiting for you in Rhinelander, but you've got to get there in 40 minutes. How long would it take you to get there? 25. You see, it's where our priorities are. It's where we really want, what we really want to do. You know, last week I mentioned, you know, that we say I can't. And the question really is, can't or won't? Because we can. God has given us all the power and all the ability that we need through the Holy Spirit. But we got to set Him first. You know, I think about the ministries in this church. There is a lot of things going on in this body. Some of you may not know what's going on. But you know, the sad part is, and I don't mean this to be needling, but I do want us to understand that there is no reason that the people in kids' clubs should be having to beg people to help. We should be falling all over the leaders saying, I'll do this, I'll do that. They should have more help than they know what to do with. There should be brainstorming sessions, not waiting for me, but brainstorming sessions. What can we do for God here, now? We can use this building every day of the week if we wanted to. How can I draw more people into the kingdom of God? What can I do to do that? There's a lot of ministries that we just don't have the people for. You know, sound booth, I'm breaking in guys right now, but we should have more of us saying, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. I don't want to be, chastising. But I do want us to put God first. There's so many things that could be done in this body. Hey, teach Sunday school. Oh, no, man, that's too hard. I don't know if I can do that. You can do it. If God calls you, you can do it. I hear this too often, and I don't want to hear it ever again. And I know I'm going to hear it still. Oh, I'm too old for that. No, you're not. You're not too old. I look at Larry, and the guy puts me to shame. That's where we're at. We've got a body of believers. We've got a church that is a huge church. There are people out there that do not know the Lord. Franz put a thing out there, a paper. I mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it again, that, let's pray 24 hours. Let's get people signed up. And there's like maybe 10 names on there. There should be 100. I want us to put God first. Let's not, and it's not about money. God doesn't need your money. I watched this building go up with just 20,000. God just waited for us to be available. He just waited for us to step out. When we stepped out, He took over. You ask anybody about it, the building project, how it went, and they'll tell you, man, it took on a life of its own. God only wants us to step out. God only wants us to believe. God wants to say, He's saying to us, who do you say I am? If I'm Jesus, if I'm God of the flesh, if I'm the creator of this universe, then man, you have unlimited abilities in me. There's nothing you can't do for me. What is it that He wants you to do? I don't know. I know what He wanted me to do. And reluctantly, I might add, I stepped out. I didn't believe He could do it. I didn't believe that I could ever be a preacher. I didn't have the training. I didn't have the education. When I came here to Crandon and started with 30 or 40 people, whatever it was, I had never done a funeral. And I had never done a wedding. Oh, I preached occasionally, but not week after week. And now, 27 years later, what an education. But God did it. God did it every step of the way. He provided for me, and He made sure that I would continue to do His will as long as I kept Him first. Well, there's times where you don't. And to my shame, there's times where I didn't. And those are the times when things start falling apart. When you put Him first, doors open up. Things happen that you never would have expected. Miracles take place that you never would have thought. It's an amazing, amazing journey when you turn your life over to Him completely and make Him the priority. So who do you say Jesus is? I'd like us to go to our last song. It's up on the screen. It'll be the first and last verses of Glory to His Name.
I can't see the music.